everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable, episode 143. Today we will be discussing Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 1, episodes 9, Puppet Show, and 10, Nightmares. As usual, you can contact us through email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. This post on Hypeable.com or any of the Buffy-centric posts on Hypeable. Or you can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. I'm Karen, and I'll be your host today. And I'm joined by Ariana, Caitlin, and Brittany. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I just realized we have ABC, and then there's me, K.
Well, this isn't my fun fact, but another fun fact is that we are the four who've been on the most rewatchable episodes.
Oh,
yeah.
Go us.
Nice. We're the veterans of rewatchable.
Even though I joined late, I just happened to be on a lot of Avatar.
Well, speaking of fun facts, let's start off with fun facts. Brittany thought it would be hilarious if we centered our fun facts around what our nightmares are. So, Brittany, why don't you start with that?
My nightmare comes true in nightmares, and that is not knowing that a terrifying clown is going to pop up at any given moment in time.
I didn't know you actually, like, dreamed about them. Now I feel bad, like, making fun of it.
Yeah, I absolutely hate clowns. Like, my body, like, locks. Like, I, like, lose all sense of motion when a clown is near. Like, I freak out. So, recapping American Horror Story last season was really rough because the clown was the villain. But they killed him off after 4 episodes, so it was okay.
Did that help with your fear, or did it make it worse?
It made it a little bit worse because the introduction of the clown is in, like, broad daylight and not a spooky setting. So he just, like, walks across the field mm-hmm. and is like, no way. Go away. I can't deal with this.
You're only supposed to come out at night.
No, I was, like, waiting for it. I, like, had a pillow ready and everything to watch the first screener. And I was like, okay, I can do this. I'm ready. And, like, there's this, like, lovely couple having a picnic in the first 5 minutes of the episode. And I'm like, all right, the clown will come later, whatever. And he just walks across the field. And I was like, no, no. Like, I was ready for darkness popping out. Like, no, it was awful.
Ariana, what about you?
Well, I don't really have nightmares anymore because I just make it a point to, like, avoid anything that could ever potentially be scary. But sometimes things, like, fall through. Like, I remember there's this trailer for, like, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and the trailer is, like, terrifying. I think that was a few years ago. And I remember I kept having nightmares about, like, demons coming to eat me and, like, flying through the air. Probably my favorite nightmare, though, is when I was, like, younger and I watched Are You Afraid of the Dark? And it's this creepy episode about this girl who gets trapped in her doll's dollhouse. And, like, the doll is, like, trying to kill her so she can, like, take over her body. So that was great. That was my nightmare for, like, months, is that I was trapped in my doll's dollhouse.
What about you, Caitlin?
Okay, so mine's not nearly that creepy. I have recurring dreams about being late to softball practice or, like, bringing the wrong uniform to a game. And if you had been on my softball team in college, you would understand that this was a really bad thing because you would end up having to run laps for being late or just being really horrified that you wore the wrong uniform to the game or something. So I have dreams about that. And then I wake up, like, in cold sweats, like, oh God, I don't play anymore. I don't play anymore.
Mine is kind of similar to that. Well, I have two. One, which is not related, is the worst nightmare I've ever had in my entire life happened, like, a month or so ago. My mom got shot and, like, died in my arms. God. I woke up 6 a.m. out of a dead sleep and called her up crying and left her voicemail. We were like, I know you're not really dead, but if you could just call me today, that would be really great. That was horrible. I was, like, in a terrible mood for the rest of the day. But my recurring nightmare that I have still to this day is missing the school bus, whether it's like because I don't have pants on or because it just like doesn't stop at my house. Because this actually happened to me a bunch when I was a kid because we had terrible bus drivers who like wouldn't see you waving your arms. It was ridiculous. And I'd have to like run down the road to the next stop to catch the bus. So that still sends me into a panic. So I feel you, Caitlin.
Sometimes it's the little things that are the worst.
Yeah, they just stick with you. All right, before we get into the episode, I want to do a little housekeeping in that we've gotten quite a few messages about spoilers and how we've not been so great at being a non-spoiler podcast. So want to apologize.
I think we've been fine, but I don't know what we've spoiled.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem.
That's the thing, because I feel like as super fans, we know when things aren't a big deal. And it's like, yeah, we can spoil that because it doesn't like come up again or whatever. But you guys don't know that. And so you might still be holding on to that. And it kind of ruins that experience. So I just want to say, because I'm not sure we've replied back to everybody, that we've seen your messages. We're going to try to be really, really good about the no spoilers thing. We're going to bring back hashtag no comment from Veronica Mars, and I've threatened Mitch several times with a statement.
Okay, it is not Mitch's fault, okay? No. Everybody is so mean to Mitch, and it's like getting a little bit ridiculous. I mean, he's like the poster boy, but I guess he spoiled that one thing about Angel that like
I didn't even realize happened.
Yeah, and I like didn't never said he was a vampire. He said he's like Edward Cullen, and he is like Edward Cullen, guys.
Mitch knows that we don't mean it.
We got like one tweet where somebody was like, I can't believe you told us that that one character like never comes back. And
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's not a big deal to us because we know it's not a big deal, but other people might be hanging on to those sort of things. So we're just going to try to do our best. I mean, obviously, this is such an old show. People know certain things and something might slip out, but I just wanted to let everybody know that we have seen their comments and we're going to try to work on just being better at it. I mean, can't make any promises, but we're not going to ruin anything huge. So, but with that out of the way, let's jump into episode 9, which is Puppet Show. In this episode, the new principal is the new big bad because, surprise, he wants people to actually do their jobs. So Buffy and the gang get roped into Giles' talent show. That's gang spelled with two A's, like from Avatar. Meanwhile, all of your horrific Are You Afraid of the Dark nightmares are coming true because there's this talking puppet who's super horny and probably trying to kill you. Buffy corners him in a dark basement, but then it turns out, surprise, the dummy isn't evil after all. He's just creepy as fuck because he's a man trapped in a doll. In the end, the puppet and Buffy join forces and save Giles from being super dead. Very accurate synopsis. I guess right off the bat, did this episode freak you guys out?
I had to turn on the lights. I was watching in my bedroom and I was like, I can't do this in here. I have to go out into an open space with light. Yeah, that puppet is scary.
Yeah, he like reminded me of my worst fears watching like Goosebumps and like Ariana said in her synopsis, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? But I think that's what made me love it that much more, because I was like, I can still be creeped out about this stuff and I'm not 9 years old anymore.
So I'm like,
it was like
out.
Nostalgic fear.
Funny story, I was watching random episodes of Ghost Adventures before watching this, and I watched one where they went to the Island of the Dolls in Mexico, and it was really horrifying because there were dolls strung up everywhere, and like one just started laughing in the middle of the night and it had no batteries or anything. And then I went to this episode and it was like, hey, creepy mannequin thing. I'm like, I cannot deal with the dolls that much in my life.
So it freaked you out even upon rewatch knowing how it turned out.
Well, it's creepy.
He's
when the
still
doll
creepy.
I find him creepy when he's just him, like, still.
Yes.
But as soon as he starts moving, I just start rolling my eyes. Like, he gets the knife in his hand, I'm like, that looks so ridiculous.
That,
and I cannot stop laughing.
Hilarious.
So when he's just like, they're doing like the creepy framing of him like completely still, that to me is the creepiest. But then as soon as he starts moving and like skittering around floors, I just start cracking up.
Oh, see, that's the worst for me. That sound of his little feet running, like I pulled my knees up to my chest. I didn't want my feet on the floor because that part creeped me out the most. I also have a collection of porcelain dolls, which I have had since I was a child. So this makes this episode even freakier because I'm like, this could happen to me.
They're going to come get you.
Yeah. They're like in boxes. What if they hate me for being in boxes? They're just going to rise and attack me in the middle of the night.
My great grandma had this room in her house that was like the guest room, and it was upstairs, like near the attic. And it was just full of like her doll collection. And my uncle, whenever he used to stay in there, like you would go in there the morning after he stayed in there and he would turn all the dolls backwards so they weren't looking at him. It was a really creepy room, though. I refused to stay in it when I was little.
I mean, this is sort of aside from the plot, like the main plot with Sid, but we get a new principal in this episode as well. Principal Snyder. What do you think of him? Newbies, Brittany, how do you feel about Principal Snyder?
Well, I miss Flutie. Like, this guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see how, like, he makes a lot of sense in a way. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, you probably need someone like this in charge, even though he's almost as effective as Flutie was getting things taken care of. Because it's like, oh, someone was murdered. And he's like, I will not stand for this. But everyone has to come to school tomorrow and continue out this day, even though someone's heart was just cut out. So, like, he gives off this air of trying to change things, but really nothing has really changed under his leadership.
Yeah. Ariana, how do you feel about him?
I also really miss Principal Flutie, but, I mean, at least this guy's trying to get things done. Like, everybody's like, oh, he's the worst, but he's, like, just trying to make them do their jobs. So.
He's kind of creepy, though. You have to admit. Like,
he was like skulking around like hallways, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's like showing up in random places. Like, why are you here?
Yeah. I've also been thinking a lot lately about Cordelia because she, for me on this rewatch, has been like consistently absolutely hilarious. And I think that it's interesting that this like mean girl persona can be sort of like ditzy and is the comic relief a lot of times. Like, she's less of an antagonist. I mean, she is an antagonist because she kind of puts our heroes in some interesting situations and kind of pushes back at them. But she's also just really funny. And so I wanted to know what you guys thought. Like, do you find her annoying? Do you think she's hilarious? Does she not mean anything to you? Thoughts?
I was actually thinking about this today, like this morning's rewatch, because I watched the second episode today. And I was wondering if I would have hated her if I watched this, like when it was on. Because I would have been in that, like, you know, this show would have seemed more, like, you know, timely. But now, like you said, I kind of see her as a comic relief. So, like, when she came on and she was singing, like, yes, that's supposed to be funny regardless. And, like, but I was more focused on, like, her, like, velvet shirt than I was, like, you know, on anything else that was happening in that scene. But I am seeing her as just, like, a comedic character as opposed to, like, this girl who probably every week people were like, oh my god, she's so annoying, get her off the show. Like, instead, I'm just like, I would actually like more scenes with her because I think she's hilarious.
Caitlin, do you remember any initial reactions to Cordelia?
Personally, I don't remember not liking her, but that's, I think that kind of goes to what Brittany was saying of it's a little closer to home when you're a teenager and there's the actual mean girl on the screen and then you're 10 years older than that and now you're like, okay, this is ridiculous and hilarious. And I find her hilarious now as well.
Ariana, do you like her? I feel like you would like her.
I'm like torn between the fact that she gets the best lines and they are very hilarious, but this is where I'm going to get hate mail. I feel like the actress doesn't have the best delivery, and I'm hoping that changes. I feel like she's not so great of an actress sometimes, so that's my unpopular opinion.
I think that helps her character, for me at least, because she's, like, so bad at just, like, everything, but she's trying to play this like girl who thinks that she's perfect at everything. So I don't know, it probably was not intentional on the actor's part to come off that way, but for me at least it's helping.
See, I always felt that way too, like that she was sort of awkward and it was supposed to be bad, but maybe that wasn't intentional. I mean, that kind of changes things, but
I mean, when you think about it, teenage girls are awkward, and no matter how like nasty they are when you look back on it in hindsight. You're like, I was so awkward at 16.
Mm-hmm. Now, the whole story obviously centers around this puppet, but great question raised. Why does everyone act like Buffy's crazy for thinking that it's the dummy when they've dealt with some pretty ridiculous things in the past, like a giant praying mantis? Because as I was rewatching this episode, I was like, why are you so disbelieving of her? She has every reason to believe this is true.
And especially Xander. And I was like, Xander, you are a hyena. Like, and you were trapped by the mantis. Like, what is up with you? So, yeah, I feel like everyone should have suspected the dummy because it was pretty creepy.
I mean, I guess the difference is, like, the hyenas and the praying mantis were alive, whereas the dummy is supposed to be an inanimate object, and you shouldn't be able to give life to an inanimate object. That's the only difference I can think of, but I totally see the point.
Yeah, I just am shocked that everyone thought Morgan was that good at being a ventriloquist. And, like, no one, I mean, I guess Buffy saw this, but, like, no one else thought it was weird that, like, the puppet was literally everywhere that Morgan went. Like, he was just, like, really into this talent show act. And, like, Giles is a pretty smart guy. Like, you know, why are you discounting this puppet so early? First of all, it's really creepy, so maybe they just didn't want to be around it any longer than they needed to be. But still, it was just, I thought the same thing. I was like, what is so odd about this puppet being the, like, cause of everything that's happening?
Especially when they go through their books and they're looking up, like, reanimation. Like, this is definitely, and it's a trope, you know? I mean, maybe we're supposed to, like, just believe that they haven't heard of anything like that before, but dolls coming to life has been done a million times before Buffy, and I'm surprised that they were just so unbelieving of it. But
yeah, and I loved, like, Willow was, like, in the library and she's like, look what I found in this section on, like, dolls and humans. And I'm like, oh, because that's a section in every library that exists.
I was thinking about that too during this episode. Like, how many books in there are books that those kids can actually check out for, like, schoolwork?
My biggest thing I have a hard time believing with this show is how empty the library always is, because my high school library was never empty.
Well, see, there's no computers in there. I feel like if it had computers, there would be a lot more. Well, there's one computer, but
I mean, we had people, like, sitting at tables doing their homework all the time in the library. So I just sort of find it hard to believe that the library is always empty. That's, like, the hardest thing I have suspending my disbelief with this show. Like, they're on a Hellmouth, that's fine, but an empty library all the time, I'm not sure I can buy this.
Just don't get it. Yeah. The twist to the episode was that the dummy isn't actually evil. Newbies, did you see this coming?
No, not at all.
Wasn't it great?
It was great. And then it made so much more sense as to why they kept, I thought that they just kept having this, like, magic act as, like, a funny, like, you know, ongoing thing happening in the background, sort of like, mm-hmm. you know, the Cabbage Man was, like, always, like, he was never the center of the plot, but he was, like, it was hilarious to have him in the background. So I'm like, oh, this magic thing is just, like, really funny because he's awful at magic. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is, like, a thing. I thought it was really great because I really was expecting the puppet to be awful.
I totally forgot about that magic thing, Brittany, until you said that, because I was like, wasn't it so bizarre that the murderer ended up being, like, this random person that just shows up at the end? But you're right. The magic guy was in the background the whole time. I guess it's because I was watching with, like, one eye closed this entire episode.
I'd actually forgotten about the twist because this is an episode I don't ever rewatch. So I'd actually forgotten about it and was like, oh, that's a delightful twist.
Yeah, speaking of rewatchability, I was not looking forward to this episode at all because I remember hating it. And you know what? I walked out of this rewatch, like, appreciating the hell out of it because of the twist, because of how funny it was. Like, I had forgotten how funny everybody was, like, all across the board in this episode. And it was just, I think it's jumped up a lot higher on my list now. Like, it's still ridiculous and it's still creepy. I wouldn't rewatch it just for fun, but I like it more than I did before. And we have one last question here about what's the difference between a demon hunter and a vampire slayer. My initial thought is, like, vampire slayer is kind of a one person kind of thing. Like, it's Buffy, it's, you know, one girl born into a generation, blah, 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 you know, the spiel. And a demon hunter is, like, any person who hunts demons.
Yeah, Vampire Slayer has superpowers, and a demon hunter is probably, like, a normal person.
Who just knows about it.
So, like, a demon hunter. So, like, anybody can just, like, become a demon hunter. They're like, you know what? I hate demons. Hey, are, like, Willow and Xander, like, demon hunters now? Would they be considered?
I mean, that's the plot of Supernatural, so. Oh.
But do they have superpowers?
They don't.
They don't. That is some tough stuff then. Good for them.
Yeah, I did not know that they didn't have superpowers until right now.
That's interesting to me.
Get to see more demon hunters?
No comment.
Good job, guys.
You walked us right into that one very gently. Thank you. Okay, anything else about this episode? What did you think of the actual bad guy?
I mean, we didn't get to know him that well.
No.
I mean, aside from, like, him, like I said, just being in the background, like, it until the, like, right up until the moment he strapped Giles into, like, the guillotine, I was like, oh, right, okay. Like, we didn't really get to know him that well, so... Like,
I have one more question I just remembered. Mm-hmm. So the guy, the one that had the dummy, like, how did he acquire the dummy? Because then he dies later.
I don't think we ever find out. Like, I don't think that's, like, ever addressed.
Like, why the dummy chose him to be his, like, demon hunting buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just bought it at a secondhand store and it happened to be a dude in a doll.
Maybe, but why would he, like, chill in a store for, you know, potentially years or something?
Who knows?
Why would that kid, like, do everything he says? That's terrifying.
Maybe he was just chosen, like, I need an actual human being. You look good. Okay, let's move into our favorite scenes. Mine's easy. Mine's just when it turns out that the puppet isn't evil. I think that's really clever. And I like the reveal of that when they're both, like, staring at each other going, what?
And then he's like, when he's telling the story to the whole group and he's, like, in shadow in the chair talking. It's like a noir scene.
And Xander's like, what the hell is happening right now? Caitlin, what's your favorite scene?
Mine was at the very beginning, after Buffy, Willow, and Xander have been teasing Giles and they're trying to leave the talent show, and Snyder comes up and makes them join the talent show, and you get these reaction shots of Giles just sort of kind of laughing at them, like, silently just smirking. That was my favorite, because again, the older I get, the more Giles is dear to my heart.
Yeah, I'm finding I'm relating to the parents and the adults a lot lately. Like, okay, especially when Snyder is like, I hate kids. I was like, me too, buddy, me too. Which is sad that I'm relating to them. And not the teenagers, I guess.
I used to relate to them when I was a teenager, so...
Ariana, what's your favorite scene?
Mine is definitely the last scene of them in the talent show. Where I don't even remember what they did. They were just very bad.
They were doing Oedipus.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why, but I find it absolutely hilarious when actors, particularly good actors, have to act poorly. I think it's the funniest thing in the world, and they did such a good job.
Oh, so good. And Willow, like, running off in fear, and then Buffy and Xander, like, just step closer together.
American Gothic.
That's so good.
Brittany, what about you?
Mine was when they're all in the library and Xander, like, looks around and Sid is gone, and he tells Giles and Willow both are, like, looking around at their feet and, like, freaking out like he's, like, a rat or something that they don't know where it is. Just, like, watching them pretend to freak out was really, I thought it was hilarious.
Isn't Xander standing on a table?
Yeah, he, like, jumps on the chair. And it's so funny. I'm like, it's not like a rodent. Like, you would see it, you know?
Still, though, like, that's why I pulled my feet up off the floor. Because I was like, if it's going to get me, it's going to, like, slash my ankles first. So get those out of the way. Okay, favorite lines. Mine is when Giles is talking to Cordelia and he goes, your hair. And she's like, what's wrong with my hair? And then she, like, you know, runs off and he goes, Xander was right. It works like a charm. And I just love that. First of all, Giles cannot stand Cordelia either and, like, has to get rid of her in this way. But that he's taking advice from Xander, of all people, it was perfect. Caitlin, what about you?
Mine was Snyder. It's when he's telling Giles that, you know, things are going to be on the up and up now. Everyone's going to do their jobs and everything. And he's talking about Principal Flutie's approach and how kids are people. And he's like, that's the kind of woolly-headed liberal thinking that leads to being eaten. That just tells you everything you need to know about who Snyder is going to be.
Basically. Ariana?
Mine was when Xander is interviewing Cordelia, which, by the way, like, isn't, you would think people would find it a little weird that these three are always, like, sniffing around the murders. Like, so what do you know about, like, the person who got murdered? But she's like, wow, this is such a tragedy. Emma was, like, my best friend. And Xander's just like, Emily. Like, your mind, sir. Her name was Emily.
Brittany?
Mine was when they were talking about what the, you know, what the intentions were, like, what was actually happening, and they need a healthy brain. And Xander was basically like, well, in other words, I'm safe.
I love, too, that Willow was like, why would it pick me? And then she does the square root of whatever, and you go, oh. Oh, yeah, I'm actually smart. It was great. All right, let's jump into episode 10, Nightmares. In this episode, everyone's worst dreams are coming to life, which means that some people are showing up to school in their underwear while others are getting mauled in graveyards and turned into vampires. Turns out it has to do with a kid in a coma because his little league coach is an asshat with a baseball bat. Meanwhile, Buffy is having normal teenager issues about abandonment, and it is very sad. Very true. Let's discuss everybody's nightmares, because I feel like this just tells us a lot about these characters. And we're going to start with Buffy, because she probably has the most. And it starts off with an actual nightmare that she's having, not one where it comes to life just yet, but she's dreaming about the Master and he attacks her. And as I was watching this in the beginning, like, I obviously knew she was having a nightmare, but if you guys didn't, did you think this was like the climax of something and we'd flashback to what happened before? Did you think it was real? Did you think this was happening, like, in the present time in the episode?
I think I didn't, only because the name of the episode was Nightmares, so mm-hmm. that in and of itself was kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, I initially, like, immediately thought we were in, like, a dreamscape, because I was like, this would have come, like, I know we're approaching, like, kind of the end of this season already, but I was like, I still feel like it was too early for anything like that to be going down, especially so soon after the puppet episode.
No, but this stuff really happened, right? Like, he was really there in his underwear, and, like, those the spiders were, like, real spiders, right?
Yeah, no, those things mm-hmm. were real. We're talking about, like, the first segment, I thought, was an actual nightmare. Like, yeah. It wasn't, that part wasn't actually happening. The rest of it, like the spiders and stuff, I did think were happening just because of the creepy Joseph Gordon-Levitt in the corner.
Yeah, those spiders, though. Oh, my God. Those really got me. They were terrible. Ugh. I felt bad because Kristen really hates spiders, and we were watching this together, and I felt like I should have warned her. But, like, I wasn't going to warn her. And then it came up, and she, like, flipped out. And I was like, I'm so sorry, but that was a great reaction. These were a rough couple of episodes for her. There was a lot of, oh my gods, and it was great. Had to be there.
That was a really good Kristen impression.
Thanks. Was it really? I don't know. I think she sounds
just like her when you said that.
All right, let's talk about Buffy's father, because he shows up in this episode. Were you guys surprised that we actually saw him? Because he's been sort of a distant figure up to this point.
I figured he was, like, dead or something.
Same. I thought he was dead.
I assumed we would never see him ever, I think, in 9 seasons or whatever.
So yeah, when he showed up.
Yeah, it was like, well, when her mom was like, oh, like, you know, he's around, like, you know, he's coming to see you, and, like, she only sees him every so often and whatnot. I was like, oh, this is an interesting, like, because I guess it was around, like, a, you know, divorce was being written more into shows, I guess. I don't know. So I was like, oh, that makes sense, I guess. I was actually happy about it, because I was like, you know, I thought that they would never address it, or they would address it in a way where like he was somehow connected to this like demon world and he got killed by a demon because of Buffy. Like I thought that was going to be
how exciting.
But then that was he's alive and well, so that's not going to happen.
I think I like your version better, Brittany.
I actually like the fact that it's so normal that, you know, they don't necessarily hate each other. They just, you know, kind of fell out of love and they got divorced. And it's kind of an awkward situation, but it's really normal, which, like, my parents are divorced and that's kind of how it is for us. Like, my parents talk occasionally and there's no hard feelings there. And it's just something that happens. And I feel like so many times shows make it such a big deal when these days, you know, it's so common that sometimes it's just not a big deal. It's just part of life. And I always enjoyed that he was kind of a distant figure that wasn't a bad guy, but came in like this and just kind of showed up and was a part of the actual episode.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing because I'm in the same situation. Like they talk, my parents talk, but it's not like it was never a big, big deal. Like this sort of thing. Like it would be like, oh, you're going with your dad this weekend. Or you're going with your mom this weekend. And I'm like, oh, it's the same thing. Like this is refreshing. It's not like, oh, well, your father can't come to the house and get your bag and like all this stuff. It was just like, eh, no big deal. You could just swing by the house later. Like, you know, it was just so normal. And like, it wasn't like Buffy was afraid of seeing him. Like, you know, it was just like, all right, this is a thing that's happening. It's just happening at a bad time for me.
Yeah.
And it fleshes out Buffy's home life more, and it gives you a little more insight into just what her life has been like up until this point, and kind of shows how important her mother is, since, you know, her father is still in LA. So it's really just her mother for the most part. So it's the lady influence, which we always love.
Yeah. And that line about her bag, like, oh my God, I left my bag at home. And her mom's like, you guys can pick it up after school. It's fine. The world's not going to end. Is such like, oh, it's such a real piece of dialogue that, like, I'm sure my mom has said to me before. And it just, I don't know why on this rewatch, like, my parents have been divorced a long time. I've only watched the show, like, while they were divorced. So it's not like it's something new for me, but it just, it really hit me hard this time around. And I really liked the direction they decided to go with it. Ariana, I know that you've had a little bit of trouble kind of jumping into the show, but you seemed kind of affected from the show notes that I can read by Buffy's abandonment issues and her worry over the actual nightmare that she's having, which is her father showing up and being like, yeah, it was all your fault. And yeah, I really just don't want to be around you anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I put that as my favorite scene, but I can talk about it now. So her nightmare where her dad shows up, I mean, obviously, to me, it was like clearly a nightmare, because what kind of a horrible person would say those things to their child? But like her face, she just, in that moment, she looked so young and she looked like a real teenager for once. You know, she wasn't dealing with like demons or whatever. And it, she just felt so real. And it made me realize like how young and vulnerable she is and how it's such a burden on her. She's so young. She's dealing with all this stuff. So,
yeah. And I thought it was really interesting that they chose to, like, you know, because she is fighting like all these supernatural beings and like she has to like put her life on the line every single episode. But the biggest thing that she fears is like something that almost everyone fears. Like, am I disappointing people around me? Like, I wasn't expecting it. You know what I mean? Because you have like Xander being afraid of being like naked in public and, you know, like all these like crazy dream type things. And then this was like her biggest fear. And it was, I thought it was a really good episode.
I think this is super important for the kind of show that Buffy is, in that so many strong women characters are written just to be kick-ass and nothing more. But Buffy is kick-ass, but she's also vulnerable. So she has the multiple sides to her, which I think makes her such an interesting character, and that it's, the show isn't afraid to explore that vulnerability. So she's strong and she's weak and she has moments of both, and it's going to play with both. And I think that's so important for the show and for the character.
And that kind of plays into her next fear, which is actually turning into a vampire, and Giles saying, I didn't know that, you know, you worried about this. And that was kind of a poignant moment for me, but also like, how weird was it seeing Buffy as a vampire?
Yeah, that was, I wasn't expecting that to even ever happen. Like, it was like kind of weird.
I think it would be really interesting if she got, I guess though, if she got turned into a vampire, then she couldn't be the vampire slayer. But it'd be cool if she was like a vampire who was a vampire slayer. But yeah, so I just kind of was like, oh, well, it's going to end at the end. So I would have liked to see her. She was still like herself. It would have been cool if, even if she was like, you know, then all of a sudden she became bloodthirsty and her friends had to like gang up on her to like stop her or do something to try and stop her for the rest of the episode.
That would have been intense. Not that it's not a brilliant idea, but that would have been hard to watch, I think. Can you imagine like Willow and Xander having to like pin her down? Could they even pin her down? I don't know, but yeah.
I mean, she already has super strength and then you add vampire strength to that.
Yeah. My God.
Could have gotten like Angel to help out. Hey, come help us, Angel.
Yeah, we never get to see Angel's nightmares in this episode.
They're probably that he'll get rejected.
Oh.
Hey, Buffy.
Probably.
She'll laugh at his shirt.
Your it's
shirt.
Actually probably just him like staring at an empty hanger where his leather jacket used to be.
Oh my God. And then of course Buffy's, you know, one of her last nightmares is taking a test and knowing nothing and not even having the time to write her name down, which I think, you know, we've all kind of been there, that sort of thing. But I like this balance of like, you know, she really fears the master and becoming vampire, but she also fears like her father abandoning her and missing a history test. And like you were saying, Caitlin, she's so well-rounded and it's such like a, yeah, she's super strong, but she's also really vulnerable. She's just a regular teenage girl kind of thing. And you're right. It makes her so much more interesting. Meanwhile, Xander's nightmares include showing up to class only in his underwear, clowns, and Nazis. And Brittany, how did you feel about that clown?
Yeah, not cool, Buffy. Like, I don't like being caught off guard. It's the same thing. Like, even if I'm watching an episode of Modern Family and all of a sudden, like, Fizbo shows up, like, I'm not a happy camper. Like, I need to know in advance when Eric Stone Street is going to be in his clown costume and I will not watch the episode. But, like, all of a sudden he's, like, following these candy bars and I'm like, oh, it'll be something, like, ridiculous, like the puppet will come back or something weird like that. And then it was that clown and I was like, nope. I almost didn't watch the rest of the episode because I stopped the episode and I walked away and I was like, no, I can't deal with this. So I had to like, you know, try and like keep fast forwarding. And then I like kind of like stopped every couple of frames, like going forward to make sure it didn't come back again. And then I like watched the rest of the episode.
How'd you feel about Xander stepping up and decking him?
I didn't watch it.
No.
No, like I said, I stopped.
That's the most satisfactory part of that.
I stopped after the first appearance and then I like made sure he never came back again, and then I watched it afterwards. But I did see your note about him punching him in the face, so I'm like, well, that's a thing that happens, but I will never see it.
Have you guys ever done that, like in a dream, like what? I vividly remember this one time I was like having a nightmare about a monster chasing me in the woods, and then it was like there was this voice that was like, it's a dream, and I just stopped and was like, hey, do you want to go have like a tea party? And then we did.
That is the best story I've ever heard. Do you want to have a tea party?
I wish I did. I could do that. I don't think I've ever been able to be like, you're dreaming right now.
My mom actually has this reoccurring dream where this monster I don't know if it's a vampire or not, but tries to attack her, like bite her neck. And she sticks her hands in its mouth and like breaks its jaw apart. And like if you ever seen Hemlock Grove, it like peels the two jaws apart and like just cracks open its head. And she says that it works. It stops the dream. And I'm like, my God, I don't think so.
I have dreams where I know that I'm dreaming, but I don't know that it actually affects what I do in the dream. I'm just aware that it's a dream the whole time.
Yeah, that's interesting too, I think. Willow has problems with attention. She doesn't like being the center of attention, and she has to sing in front of a whole audience, and she doesn't know the words, and nothing really comes out. She kind of squeaks it out. I thought this was really funny, and I thought Willow in particular, kind of like with the stage fright thing in the last episode, just like freaking out, like freezing up, is just really hilarious. But I can't remember. I mean, I watched these again yesterday, but was this the only thing that was focused on Willow?
I think so, because she wasn't like in the beginning of the episode much, like, you know, when the spiders were coming and all that stuff and Xander had his fear, like, and Giles couldn't read, like, all that stuff happened, but then this was the only time that Willow was, like, the center of everything.
Okay.
I guess it just means that it's such an overwhelming fear for her, there's less time for other fears.
Yeah, that's true. Meanwhile, Giles had quite a few. Getting lost in the stacks, not being able to read, Buffy being dead. And I think, like, the first two are kind of funny, but the last one really kind of hits you. And, you know, when he walks up to the grave and he's like, they're like, whose nightmare is this? And he goes, it's mine. And you see Buffy's gravestone.
Yeah, that was horrible. Like, I thought the lost in the stacks thing, like, at first I didn't get that that was a fear, because he seemed to, like, be laughing. I'm like, is he on drugs or something? Like, what is going on with Giles? And then the second one, where he was just like, nothing of this makes sense, like, I don't understand. And then he's like, I can read 5 languages and I can't read this newspaper. So I was like, oh, like, that makes sense, this is one of his fears. But then that last one, I was like, oh my God, Giles, like, I don't need this. This is really emotional.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. And all of this stems from the fact that there's this kid in a coma and his consciousness is sort of floating around making all of these things happen. And we get the big scary dude who keeps saying lucky 19. And we find out in the end that the kid is in a coma because his Little League coach hit him because they lost the game and, you know, apparently it was his fault, despite the fact that there are other players on the team. And because they live on a Hellmouth, his consciousness kind of comes out of his body and all of these strange things happen. But Ariana, you said in here that you didn't really understand what was going on with the kid. Does that clear it up a little bit, or are you still confused?
So there was no demon that, like, was working on this. It was just his conscious, because I know he didn't, like, mean to do it. He wasn't a bad kid,
right? Yeah. And it's sort of, so, just like, one of those things, like, you live on the Hellmouth, freaky things are gonna happen.
And the coach, he wasn't, like, a demon who, like, did it on purpose,
right?
Okay, he was just a bad dude,
right?
Okay.
And see, I find this so interesting, because in the last episode they were talking about demons don't kill people with knives. Could this be a person? What do we do about a person? And then in this episode, it actually was a person who was the bad guy, and they have to, like, turn him over to the authorities. And I think not a whole lot of supernatural shows walk that line of, okay, yeah, we deal with, like, the monsters and stuff, but we never really come up against, like, serial killers and stuff. Like, it's always the supernatural. Whereas in these last two episodes, we've talked about it twice. And in this one in particular, like, it actually happened and there was a person, and it's not like they could slay him. And I think that's just a really interesting concept, because it just makes it more realistic. You know, there are still bad people who do bad things. It's not all a demon's fault.
And you're inclined to see these really evil things happening and assume that it's a monster. And so it's even more horrifying, I guess, when you realize it's a human doing it.
Yeah, because at least you can, you know, slay a vampire, which is probably very satisfying.
It's very cut and dry with the monsters, because, like, with vampires, it's just when they die, they become the demon. So it's black and white, pretty much, with monsters. And then with people, there's just so much more gray area, and it's messy, and it's creepy, and it's, ugh.
Agreed. Any final thoughts on this episode?
This one's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just as a whole, I'm starting to like it a little bit more. I think, and in an odd way, because, like, I kept seeing, like, people being like, oh, the puppet episode. Oh my God, the puppet episode. I was like, the puppet episode, I think, was a turning point for me for Buffy.
That's
which
amazing.
Is odd.
That's great, though. I'm really glad to hear that. And even as a super fan, like, I've never talked about Buffy with anybody else. Like, maybe, you know, randomly, like, sometimes Natalie and I bring it up on another Teen Wolf podcast because it relates to Teen Wolf, but I've never actually sat down and discussed it with people. And like I said, rewatching Puppet Show, I found that I liked it so much more than I remembered. And then there was a point in this episode, I'm not spoiling anything, that hit me so incredibly hard. I, like, threw the blanket over my head and tried not to cry. And it was just being able to look back and knowing, like, I'm going to be discussing it with you guys has given me more appreciation for the show. Like, because I don't always pick up on everything either. And I think that's one of the greatest things about this podcast. So I hope the show continues to turn for all of the newbies and you enjoy it more and more as much as we do.
What was the thing that made you feel like that?
No comment.
You can't give us a hint?
No.
Can I ask Kristen what part of the show you threw the blanket
No.
over your head?
Don't you dare. I know. I was like, oh, crap, I shouldn't be doing this right now, because what if she, like, puts two and two together? But I don't.
Just tell her not to listen to this episode, because she won't know what it meant.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, let's jump into our favorite scenes. Mine is Xander following the trail of the candy bars, because it was so funny, and also, like, Kristen was yelling at the TV, there's a trail of candy bars, you probably shouldn't be following it right now, but I was like, dude, though, free candy? Like, I'm not saying I wouldn't do that. And then him punching the clown in the face was really satisfying, too. Because, especially because it was Xander stepping up, which... Like, no offense to his character, but he doesn't do too often. He tends to be the fraidy cat one, which I'm totally fine with, but it was just really great when he was like, you know what? No. And he turns around and punches him in the nose. Caitlin, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was in the hospital room when Billy has woken up and his coach comes in and he's like, how is he? And Buffy kind of steps aside. He's like, he's awake. And then they stop him from running away when he realizes, like, oh, shit, I'm busted. Thought that was quality. And I also have to give a shout out to Cordelia's nightmares because they were amazing. Like, the hair being dragged into chess club. Like,
oh, my God. And her outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, quality.
Ariana, I know we talked about this a little bit, but anything else to add? Buffy's nightmare?
No, that was my favorite scene.
Talking to her dad?
Yes. Mine was Giles forgetting how to read, because I thought that was just such a Giles nightmare. And also, like, I didn't write this down, but the fact that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was, like, the creepy kid who was just lurking around.
Was he really Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was like, he looks like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like, it's like, he has that, like, Third Rock from the Sun hair, and I'm like, he looks a little young, but, like, I can see him growing up to be Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I looked it up, and I'm like, yes, it is.
Oh, my God, he must be so young, then. How old is Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I don't know.
I'm going to investigate.
In his 30s.
He's 34. Wow. Then how old are the Buffy kids? They must be so old. I was like, oh, that kid is, like, 7, but apparently not.
Not on his IMDb page.
Oh, he's 34.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you sure? I don't think that's actually him.
Google it, he pops up.
Yeah, I was
because he's a lookalike.
A lot like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I was just madly Googling in the background because I was like, I swear I looked this up because I was wondering the same thing, and it's not.
I think what happened was I Googled Joseph Gordon-Levitt Buffy, all these pictures of him, well, all the pictures of that kid came up, and then his IMDb was the first link, so I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's definitely him.
The actor's name is Jeremy Foley.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wonder what Jeremy Foley looks like right now, because he probably looks like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He doesn't, actually.
Oh, poor Jeremy Foley. I'll look it up.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, he looks nothing like him.
No, he doesn't.
Poor Jeremy Foley. I'm so sorry.
I mean, they can't all be Joseph Gordon-Levitt. All right, let's jump into favorite lines. Mine is from Willow, and it's one that I use, like, every time I run into a spider, when she says, what do they need all those legs for anyway? Because... Real talk.
Why couldn't it be follow the butterfly?
Basically. Caitlin, what about you?
Mine was when Vampire Buffy was facing off against the ugly man in the hospital, and she says, scary. I'll tell you something, though. There are a lot scarier things than you, and I'm one of them. Boss.
Then she just, like, launches at him. It's great.
So good.
I love that the kid calls him the ugly man. That's just so funny to me, because these vampires are so, remember when I was complaining because they're so ugly?
Ariana, what was your favorite line?
Mine was when Willow is like, oh my God, what if this happens and this happens and this happens? And Giles just like, Willow, do shut up. So I personally love, I think Giles is the best delivery of people's lines. He's probably the best actor because he's British.
Brittany?
I love when we're like, you know, trying to figure out what's going on, and Giles like knows, and he's just like, it's Billy. And then Xander's like, well, that explanation was shorter than usual. Billy. It's Billy. Who's Billy? Like, he was just like, all right, great. We know what it is, or Giles at least knows what it is, but gonna need a little more than that.
Objectively, that was probably the best line in the entire episode. I kind of forgot about it when I was picking my lines, but that thing just like, oh, so funny. And true, because you know, their explanations tend to be complicated and lengthy. It's just, it's Billy. Contact info. If you would like to get in touch with us, as always, you can find us through email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at re_watchable, this post on hypable.com or any Buffy-centric posts, and on Tumblr, rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. If you rate us 5 stars on iTunes because you love us so much, then I will build you a horny puppet. That is absolutely true. I will do that.
It's like crickets. Not sure I want to respond to that one.
Alternatively, you can always turn down the incentive if you still want to leave us 5 stars. Okay, we're going to get into some listener feedback. This first one was through email from Ingrid, who says, "Years and years ago, I listened to another Buffy podcast called Buffy Buffcast. I was just wondering if any of the superfans have ever listened to this before. If you have, what did you think? I loved it and made me an even bigger fan of Buffy than I already was. Also, want to take the opportunity to mention just how much of a fan I am of Natalie and Karen. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much."
Now we know why Karen read this one.
Yeah.
I'm blushing.
We get it. Everybody loves Karen.
And Natalie.
Well, not everybody loves Natalie. There's a lot of people who are upset. A lot of Katara lovers.
Ingrid loves Natalie, though. That's the important part. I have not listened to any other Buffy podcast, so I have no idea. I've actually never even heard of this one. I've heard of another one before, but I don't remember it off the top of my head. Caitlin, did you listen to this?
I have not. I haven't listened to any Buffy podcasts either.
Cool. Well, maybe we'll check it out.
Maybe you should, so you can see if we're doing it right.
Our way is the only way.
Or maybe to get some insights that are smarter than what we have.
Let's just copy whatever they say.
That would be disingenuous. Brittany, why don't you get this first one from Twitter?
Sure. The first one is from Gwendolyn at Gwendolyn2984. And she says, "Ugh, I didn't think I'd ever have to watch the puppet episode again. Thanks a lot, Rewatchable. Winky face. Hashtag Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Hashtag worst episode ever. I would like to know your thoughts after rewatching it because of what Karen said, actually. Like, rewatching it changed some things for her as a super fan. And like Caitlin said, she didn't remember the twist. And I personally loved it. So I'd like to hear what you think after watching it again. I know the dread of rewatching it was there, but..."
Well, I also hated it, Gwendolyn, so I'm right there with you.
And then, Caitlin, will you take this next one from Twitter?
Sure, this is from Kay, who's at Start a Frenzy, who says, "So glad you guys are doing Buffy. I haven't listened since Veronica Mars. What an awesome show to come back to. We're glad you're back, but we're sad you missed Avatar and
Korra." I know, it was fun.
Yeah. Also, that is a great Twitter handle.
Oh, she doesn't know who Brittany is. How exciting. Now you get to meet Brittany. She's pretty great. So.
Oh, that's nice. And then we have a comment from Hypable. Ariana, you want to get this one?
Sure. So Melissa did not like your guys' quotes last week. She says, "I'm surprised nobody picked the Giles quote at the end of iRobot Eugene about books. It's such a beautiful quote and one of the best in the whole series, in my opinion. It's even more relevant now than it was in 1997, considering the continuing movement away from paper books." So, Jenny Callender. "Honestly, what is it about them that bothers you so much?" She's talking about computers. And Giles says, "The smell." And Jenny Callender says, "Computers don't smell, Rupert." And Giles says, "I know, smell is the most powerful trigger to the memory there is. A certain flower or a whiff of smoke can bring up experiences long forgotten. Books smell musty and rich. The knowledge gained from a computer has no texture, no context. It's there and then it's gone. If it's to last, then the getting of knowledge should be tangible. It should be smelly."
It's a great quote.
Yeah, it's an awesome quote. I mean, I don't know why nobody picked it. It just happens sometimes. There are a lot of great quotes in Buffy, so it's going to happen. But yeah, I think this is especially relevant these days because there's a lot more talk about like e-readers and stuff like that and paper versus like computer stuff. And it's good. And I mean, I've always loved the smell of old books. It is smelly, but in like the best possible way.
I just love how that episode is like, OMG, technology, so scary.
Yes. And they're on that ancient computer, if only they knew today. All right, next week on Rewatchable, we will be discussing episode 11, Out of Mind, Out of Sight, and episode 12, the finale, Prophecy Girl. So this is the very finale, exciting.
So the season is finally over.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes. I'm so excited because people say it gets good after the first season. So I am really excited.
I would like to put out there that season one, most of the episodes that I remember vividly are from season one. I don't know if it's because I've watched them the most, but I really enjoyed going back through all of these episodes. And so I'm curious, like, diving into episode or season two, if it's going to, like, stay consistent, if it's just like I love every single episode of Buffy, or if I actually really like season one more than anybody else, which would be a continuing theme for me, liking terrible things that nobody else likes.
No, hashtag I can Mortal see Kombat. But like hey. I can totally see why you would enjoy this season, because like if you know where they are at the end, then going back and seeing them at the beginning, it's like it's fun. It's like, wow, they're so different now, or they're still the same. So for me it's boring, but I can see how if I saw 7 seasons and then came back, I'd be like, oh, this is so delightful.
Oh yeah, well, season 2, we'll see how everybody kind of takes that in. Brittany's already at her turning point, which I'm very excited about, and hopefully it just continues to go up from there.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too had to do with the fact that this is the first week I didn't have to watch 4 episodes, which was nice. So it was just like, I was like, oh, those two were enjoyable, and then I was able to move on. Not that it's a bad thing to having, I don't think now it will be a bad thing having to watch 4 episodes, but I'm definitely going to try and spread them out a little bit more. I think that's what was weighing me down too, and that was my own fault.
You guys gonna go watch the last 2 episodes like right after this, or are you not too worried about it?
No, because football's coming on. Football, playoffs, guys.
I walked into that one. We had a whole conversation before the podcast about yay sports. All right, well, until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Ariana.
I'm Brittany.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Grr. Arg.
'Finally figured that out this week, because I know we explained what it is, but I finally like let the episode play through instead of just hitting next on Netflix, and I heard it for the first time this week. I was like, oh,
wait, okay. What?
The Gur Arg thing.
What Gur Arg thing?
So like if you watch an episode all the way through, like it's one of like the like title cards at the end for like who produced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How funny. It's very
important. Ariana, you need to go.
Yeah, there's a little monster that goes across the screen and it goes grr.
Whose title card is it?
I don't know. Actually, well, they might know. I didn't actually see the name. I just heard it.
It's for Mutant Enemy Productions.
Ah.
Which is like Joss Whedon's thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I see. Fun fact.
So much Netflix stuff happened while we were doing this.
Jessica Jones!
Really?
Yes, they renewed it.
Yes! I mean, I'm not surprised, but yes!
Yeah, and they gave all the premiere dates for everything else.
Owen?
And Netflix said that they're spending $6 billion on content in 2016.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
Wait, did you say, you said 6 million, right?
No, I said 6 billion.
6 billion, okay. That's, I mean, whatever.
If you could do it, go for it.